yeah, I guess as a first time investing in a business, I don't know, that was definitely something for me of just kind of, you know, the confidence of like, no, like you can do this.
Welcome to the Quiet Light Podcast with Joe Valley and Mark Doust. Since 2007, Quiet Light Brokerage has been helping thousands of online entrepreneurs realize their dream of buying and selling online businesses. And now, we're bringing all the knowledge our team has acquired straight to you. No matter your niche or industry, these lessons, tips, and strategies will help you build, grow, acquire, or sell your online businesses better. And now, here's Joe and Mark.
So you and I had a chance a few weeks ago to hang with Ryan Daniel Moran and talk to him a little bit. We had him on this podcast, and one of the things that he talked about was what to do after you sell your business. Talked a little bit about planning in advance, but his advice was take some time off. Don't do anything business-wise, and that was his mistake looking back. You just had Nate Ginsberg on the podcast to talk about that very same thing, if I am right, correct?
Yeah, that's right. So Nate has an interesting story. He sold his business last year, not through us, wasn't through a broker. It was a deal that just kind of worked out on its own. But he found himself after that sale questioning what he wanted to do next, right? It was a lot of this, you're so used to all this hustle. And the next thing you know, you're just kind of left there wondering, what is my purpose? What do I enjoy? What do I want to be doing next? And so he really went on kind of a almost spiritual journey here of really evaluating how does he want to spend his days? How does he want to spend his time? And he came, you know, to the conclusion that he really wants to be someone who's sharing, helping other entrepreneurs, and then also doing some investing as well. So this episode has a lot of layers to it. Definitely talking a little bit about general entrepreneurship and that drive that we all have to do things and that hustle. But also, what do you do when that drive kind of dries up, or when you aren't having that in front of you, or maybe you're hustling for all the wrong reasons? So that's definitely a topic in this. But we also have this interesting wrinkle in here that he's bought two businesses since then. One of the businesses he didn't buy entirely. He bought just a portion of it and is more of an investor. And I know a lot of our buyers, you know, they ask us about that. Do you have deals where an owner wants to stay on? And he's successfully done this with one deal. So we talk a little bit about that as well. So a lot of different layers to this. If you like just general entrepreneurship discussion, that's really where this kind of falls into of, you know, entrepreneurship drive, finding your true purpose in life and your work and purposeful work. And then finally, you know, getting into some more creative deals when it comes to acquisitions.
Well, I think it's always great to hear people's stories and how they did it. It may not always directly relate to your life and what you're doing and what your goals are, but you can always take bits and pieces of it and leave the rest behind. So let's go to it.
Absolutely. Let's go. Nate, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you for having me. Hello from sunny Los Angeles.
And now you are actually just up in my neck of the woods up here in Minnesota. And normally I would tell anyone, hey, if you're up here in Minnesota, up in the Twin Cities, reach out. You did. And I happened to not be here this past week. So we missed each other.
Yeah, missed each other, but glad to connect now. And yeah, Minneapolis is my hometown, was back. I was in New York for the summer and then attended Burning Man. And then after Burning Man, went to Minneapolis to hang with the fam and kind of decompress. And now on the road again in California and then making my way back towards Asia, where I spend a good chunk of the winter.
All right. Pretty cool. I've been following you on Facebook for a little bit now and just kind of looking at some of your Facebook posts, especially from your, I think you call it the Summer of Hustle 2018, New York City. Mm-hmm. And you had talked in a few of your posts about your eagerness just to share some of the stuff that you're doing as an entrepreneur. So I thought, mm-hmm. Hey, if you want to share, we have an audience. Let's talk. Let's start sharing. Yeah. I saw one of the images of you doing a photo shoot, a yoga photo shoot in the middle of the street.
Yeah. I sold a business last year and, you know, after that had a lot of these questions around like what to do next and what's important and what direction do I really want to be going in? And, you know, and that's where some of this, you know, it's got all these questions of like, you know, what am I good at? Like, what's my unique ability? You know, all these kind of things and really trying to uncover and understand like what I'm, you know, best at, how I can add value, what I enjoy. And some of the things that not that this is like totally new or not like new information, but just useful to kind of, you know, kind of like specify or articulate is that, like, I do, I really enjoy sharing. I enjoy teaching. I enjoy helping others. And so that's been part of the Facebook stuff of, you know, trying to share more and, you know, post more and, you know, like, you know, connect and help and inspire. The yoga stuff, I'm also really into yoga. I've been practicing pretty regularly for the last like 5 or so years and was hanging out with a friend of mine in New York who, I mean, she has an amazing personal brand and Instagram following of like, you know, 400,000 people. And, you know, she was just kind of like, you know, encouraging me like, hey, like, you know, you should do this. And, you know, in the, you know, trying to stay with like, you know, pushing yourself to, you know, do things, even if they're a little bit scary. Yeah. Ended up doing this. Yeah. Photo shoot in New York. Got some cool pictures like, yeah, from the middle of the street doing handstands. It was a little bit scary, but also fun. And people seem to like it.
Yeah, it's pretty fun. It's fun to kind of troll around and take a look at what you've been doing in the past there. And like you said, pushing yourself, which is always fun to talk to people that have been doing that. Let's back up a little bit. Let's talk about selling your business last year. Was that the first business that you owned or how many businesses have you owned before you sold that business?
Yeah. So, I mean, that's the first, like, you know, somewhat significant one. I've, you know, over the last, you know, 6 or whatever years, like kind of dabbled in a variety of things, have actually sold a few small, like content websites, you know, this was years ago, but like nothing that, you know, significant. And then I got into that business, which was e-commerce, Amazon FBA, you know, I guess I got into it, you know, three years ago now or 4 years ago or something. And yeah, you know, that was the, you know, the biggest, you know, made the most money, you know, built into the biggest operation. So then that was the, I guess, most, I'd say, you know, notable, you know, sale. But I guess actually though, to kind of back up, I kind of sold that business twice. And what I mean is, so I started the business myself, you know, 3 or 4 years ago. And then about a year in, I took on a investor partner, my friend and now business partner, Travis. So then I sold him, you know, 49% of that business, which was, I mean, I guess kind of that type of a sale. And then a year later is when we had the opportunity to, again, we didn't sell kind of the whole thing. We sold the USA distribution side, which was actually, I mean, the one that was making basically all the money. And so, you know, we sold that, which was for just under $1 million, which is kind of, you know, what I was kind of posting more or sharing about, but then are actually still operating the EU side of that business, which at the time that we sold wasn't at a place or wouldn't make sense to kind of include in the sale, but hopefully going into next year or, you know, maybe Q1 or Q2 next year, hopefully we'll be looking to, sell that remaining side.
So how did that work as far as selling just the portion of that? I mean, usually you have these non-compete agreements in place. People typically want you out of the industry that you're in. You know, so as the owner, you know that business, that product really well. Usually a buyer wants to take over the business and have room to expand. And especially with Amazon, it seems like international expansion makes the most sense. So how did you guys, without getting into details you can't get into, how did you structure that? And what was sort of the appeal of that?
Sure. So good questions. And yeah, I mean, I'd say our sale was somewhat, you know, not so typical. And I guess, I mean, you know, there's a lot of different ways that sales wouldn't be typical. But yeah, ours was not, you know, this wasn't like, oh, we want to like, oh, like let's sell this business and let's put together a prospectus and let's contact brokers and contact a buyer. Ours was like, I mean, I was catching up with my business partner, Travis. I was in Vietnam, you know, this is in the spring of last year, catching up with Travis. And he was, and so Travis had sold a couple of businesses himself to this big Chinese Amazon selling company. And they have software and a big like operation. And so Travis had sold some of his businesses to them before, and we were talking and catching up, and he just kind of casually mentioned like, oh, like, you know, they might be interested in, you know, buying more businesses. Like, would you want to sell? And, you know, long story short, I was interested. You know, 3 days later, I was on a plane to China to meet with them to like, you know, try to make out this, you know, work out this deal. And yeah, we ended up, you know, coming to an agreement for the USA side and kind of interesting. And I mean, some of this is speculative. I mean, I don't know some of these things for sure as to like what their motivations were, but that business was like rolled up or, you know, had some sort of a merger acquisition with like a big publicly traded company shortly following their acquisition of my business or the USA side of my business. And so I think that they were, you know, just trying to acquire businesses to, you know, build up and, you know, show more revenue and sales for their, you know, looking forward to their acquisition, merger, roll up, whatever, you know, kind of thing. And so, yeah, that's, I mean, again, I don't know this for sure, but that is kind of my, I don't know, the theory or my, you know, why I think they were kind of interested, which would kind of explain the, you know, I don't know, atypical nature and kind of structure of how it played out.
That's fascinating. Right place, right time, right connections as well. What was your motivation? I mean, when Travis came to you and said, would you be interested in selling? Did you always plan to sell, or was it kind of like he asked you, and you're like, actually doesn't sound that bad? Or
yeah.
Why the yes?
So with, you know, in my experience with e-commerce and, you know, especially with a lot of these, like, you know, Amazon, FBA businesses, and this was also motivation for why I sold the, you know, half of the business to Travis previously and then selling this, is like, you know, you can do some really impressive revenue numbers and, you know, profit numbers. And I say profit in quotes because, you know, your profit is generated, or the, you know, on the books, it looks like, you know, revenue minus cost of goods minus, you know, expenses. And, you know, let's say, you know, we were, you know, selling a lot, you know, $100,000 a month, $150,000 a month, you know, and then our, you know, profit would just say, you know, 30% of that or something, which is, you know, sizable. But at the end of every month, it's not like the bank account was going up by, you know, X thousand dollars each month. The money comes in, it needs to go back out for, you know, more inventory, or you're launching a new product and that comes out of pocket. And so, you know, when the business really started to take off, you know, our sales were growing, but my bank account was still, you know, not growing like I, you know, wanted to. And like, you know, I was, you know, the reason, I guess, for those businesses was, you know, very financially motivated. Like, I'm trying to run this business to, you know, fund my life and, you know, build some, you know, security into my finances. We were selling a lot of stuff, and that's great. And we had, you know, a lot of, you know, profit, but it wasn't like the bank accounts were just kind of, you know, stacking. And so with a business like that, my kind of thought is that where you really stack your bank account is, you know, from some sort of a you know, sale opportunity. And that's what happened when I sold the half of the business to Travis, you know, previously. That brought in a bunch of money into my bank account. And then again, selling the half to the Chinese company, you know, got, you know, money into, you know, my bank account. And so, yeah, so that was, you know, some of the motivation. And yeah, like, I think we, you know, just had a good opportunity. Like, I mean, there's a lot of opportunity, certainly still, there was and is, you know, selling on Amazon, but there's also, you know, different risks and challenges. And, you know, I thought that this was a good opportunity to, you know, take some more chips off the table and then, you know, parlay that as like another, you know, step up and step forward for my, you know, life, career, allow me to, you know, pursue newer and different and better opportunities.
Yeah. And I want to move on to some of that and sort of what happened after, but I want to stop real quick and make a point, because I think you make a really good point here. It's something that I think people need to keep in mind when you're looking at a P&L for any business for sale, but specifically an e-commerce business that's growing. The profit does not equal capital. It is not the same thing. So if you're looking at a business that is growing and has $150,000 of profit, that's not necessarily the cash flow. That's not necessarily $150,000 in positive cash flow. And that's a problem that we see a lot with people growing. And when they get to a certain point, the same reasons as what you faced, you know, you've been putting in the hustle. The business is growing. In some ways, it would almost be nice if it leveled off, because then you're starting to actually see and realize some of that profit as opposed to consistently reinvesting into the company. So,
and yeah, and just to kind of add on that, I learned, so I had an opportunity to attend this really awesome entrepreneurship summer kind of camp program put on by Simon Black and the guys at Sovereign Man. And one of the, I mean, I've learned a ton from them, but one of the points that they hammered home, which has really stuck with me, is, you know, when you're looking at a business, the importance of, you know, free cash flow and like free cash flow being really the only thing that is important. It's not revenue, it's not profit, it's free cash flow. That's what's going to pay back to investors. That's what's going to actually go into your pocket. And yeah, you know, these, you know, at least my Amazon businesses had horrible free cash flow. And, you know, so having an opportunity to, you know, sell that and like, you know, get the cash, you know, part of that motivation. And then, you know, also the focus on free cash flow has really been a big driver for my, the investments that I, you know, have ended up making, you know, since then.
All right. So we're going to get to those, but I want to talk a little bit about the post-sale situation that you find yourself in, because I tell people this all the time when they're selling, especially their first business, you know, the first thing that's really taken off, and that's have a plan for after the sale. And I know when I sold my first business, my plan was, look, I did it once, right? I was young. I was like 25, 26, maybe a little bit older than that, but it doesn't matter how old I was pretty stupid. Because I looked at it, I'm like, oh my gosh, this is so easy. I tell people how to start businesses. I tell people how to make money and everyone goes off and does it. I was able to do it with this company. And then that first year I struggled. I couldn't find anything that was actually going to really take hold. I didn't know what I wanted to do. You had sort of the same situation, not necessarily struggling finding a new business, but kind of understanding purpose. Is that fair?
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, it's crazy. The last year or so after selling that business, like, I mean, a lot of, you know, new opportunities and also, you know, challenges come up and, you know, you've had, it's like, for a short while after the sale, at least for me, it's like, oh, like everything's great. You're just like happy this happened. But then, you know, I guess, you know, pretty quickly after, at least for me, like it's like, I love yoga. I love, you know, being healthy and having a healthy lifestyle. And like, that's great. But like, you can only, at least for me, like focus, you know, that's only a part of, you know, life. And like after a period, like I just get really, like I get antsy if I'm not like being productive, you know, working towards something. And, you know, figuring out like, you know, what that is, what's the next direction. A lot of ways it's like, you know, starting over. And so, yeah, that was a lot of what, you know, kind of followed the sale and, you know, I'm a people person. I love people, all the best things in my life and opportunities and friends and, you know, has all happened because of people that I know or I've, you know, had the opportunity to meet and connect with. And so what I tried to do or did is just like, you know, meet and talk to as many people as possible, you know, and that's been a big, and still is like a driver of, you know, I knew like, okay, well, like I've got more time and I've got more money and I've got more, you know, kind of options. And so I'm just going to try to like meet and connect and talk with as many people as I can. So, you know, went to a bunch of events, you know, was literally flying around the world, like meeting up with friends in different places and meeting new people and, you know, getting different perspectives. And, yeah, that was actually something that towards the end of, I sold the business in, it was like May, early May, was when it was like, you know, finalized, got the money. And then a lot of that summer was, you know, flying around, attended a couple different events. And, you know, by the end of the summer, one of the things I, you know, kind of concluded was kind of just like a confidence in pursuing more investments and like, okay, like, I want to and, you know, can get involved as an investor. And that's what kind of started this, you know, deep dive into, you know, just like, what does that even mean? What are the different structures? How can things be structured? Where do you find deals? You know, how do you make deals happen? And so that was, you know, yeah, I guess like from, you know, talking to and meeting a lot of these different people was kind of able to, you know, realize that like, yes, this is a direction that I want to go down. And also it's just like part of it's like confidence of just like, okay, like, yeah, like I can do this. Like I can add value. Yeah, I guess as a, you know, first time investing in a business, I don't know. That was definitely something for me of just kind of, you know, the confidence of like, no, like, you can do this.
All right, let's jump into that. Cause I think that's going to be the heart of what we really want to talk about here as well. And that is, investing in companies. I mean, so much of what we do at Quiet Light Brokerage is all about these asset deals where somebody's selling, they're selling 100% of the company, business transaction closes, you have one buyer, you have one seller, nice, clean, simple. It sounds to me like you're doing something a little bit different than that, though. You're investing in companies as opposed to buying whole, or maybe I shouldn't assume. Let you explain a little bit of what you're doing.
Yeah, so it's, I mean, I guess it's ended up being kind of a combination of both. And I mean, I'm not, I think there's benefits of both. And I kind of, I guess in the two deals that I've done the last year have, you know, one of them has been invested in, the other one has been bought outright. But in all of them, I have partners. And so I'm invested with Travis, who invested in me. You know, we invested in a business last winter. And then also again, and then with another partner, we bought outright a business. I mean, for me, like getting involved in a new business, it's a lot of this kind of came down to, again, like, you know, what am I good at? What do I like? You know, and, you know, why am I doing this? And with the first business, and I mean, I guess it's a similar kind of a checklist of things of like, you know, I want to get into a business where I can personally have an impact. Like, I'm not looking to be a passive investor. I'm definitely not looking to micromanage, but like, I want to be able to help push the business forward and, you know, give my capital the biggest, you know, chance and boost of, you know, having a good return. And so by investing in a business, which was like the first one, you know, I'm, you know, my kind of role is, you know, I have, you know, somewhat regular communication with the founder, and we, you know, hop on calls, whether it's every week or every other week, and kind of, you know, help identify the priorities and make connections and make intros. And, you know, so that's something that I thought that, you know, I'd be able to, you know, have an impact while not like, I didn't want to buy myself a job. And, you know, with any of these things, like, that's not what I'm looking for. I'm happy to be involved and I want to be involved, but I'm also not, you know, I'm not trying to buy myself a job. And then kind of with the more recent business that we bought outright, really like part of the motivation and thinking behind getting involved with that business was that, you know, being really intentional about the role that I was going to play. And with that business, I knew I had people on my team from some of the other businesses and the e-com stuff that I knew that I could bring over to kind of plug in to, you know, handle some of these different parts of the business that I, you know, didn't want to, or, you know, wouldn't be very suited to handle. And so even though we bought outright the business, it wasn't like I was just stepping in myself to, you know, kind of operate it. And I guess in, you know, any of the businesses, like what I, one of the ways I think that I can add the most value is by like kind of assembling the team that is able to run it. And, you know, that's something, even with the business that I invested in, I've been pretty active, or my team's been pretty active in, like, you know, hiring new people for the different roles, as well as for the business that we actually bought. Like, that was really what my role has been, is like getting the right people in place to manage their different, you know, the things that they're better at than I am, which then allows me to, I mean, I'm more involved with that business than the one that we invested in, because the, you know, Brent is the, you know, operator of that. And I'm still, I guess I'd say like CEO, but I'm not, you know, my role is still more like finding the right people to do their job and helping them, as opposed to me more like in the weeds, in the operations.
So with the business that you invested in, I have this question from buyers all the time. You know, do you have people who want to sell just a portion of their company? You know, they're looking for sort of that role. Do you mind if I ask how you came across this deal? Was this through a broker or?
Yeah. So that one was through a broker. We bought it on Empire Flippers and came out of nowhere, honestly. So another rule that, you know, I've learned from investing, or it's maybe, you know, the cardinal rule, it's like you make your money when you buy, not when you sell. And, you know, one thing, like when I was kind of decided that I wanted to invest or buy a business, and one of the first things that we started to do was, you know, look at all the brokerages, you know, I was looking at yours, as well as, you know, just like trying to see what the deals looked like. And, you know, one thing that we found is that, you know, the deals that are, you know, generally, you know, if you find them on a brokerage, they're like fairly valued, and, you know, as would make sense. And, you know, not that I'm not trying to like rip anybody off at all, but like as a buyer, I'm looking for, you know, the opportunity to, you know, buy at a discount, or, you know, get involved at a discount. You know, again, you make your money when you buy, you know, not when you sell. And so that had kind of like, you know, turned me to look elsewhere for investment opportunities, which led to the first investment. And then my business partner, Travis, this was a couple months ago, you know, sent this listing. It's a cryptocurrency publishing website. And it was selling at, I mean, it was a relatively young site. It was only making money for, you know, say six months or so, which had the multiple, you know, low. It was selling at like a you know, 22x monthly, you know, last 6 months monthly profit, which like I know for, you know, a average website business, like a 3x multiples, you know, somewhat, you know, standard. And so we were getting it at, you know, less than a 2x multiple. And so that, you know, got our attention. And, you know, this was like listed and then, you know, hopped on a call with the seller, you know, 2 days later. And then like, there were other interested buyers. So we just had to move fast and just like pulled the trigger and, you know, bought it. And so, yeah, that's what kind of happened with that one. Just, you know, kind of fell into our lap and we thought it was a good opportunity and, you know, had to act fast.
Yeah, yeah, I like the saying, you make money when you buy when you're investing, you don't make it when you sell. That's absolutely right. For the seller that was looking to that you just invested in, was he actively looking for that, or was it something that you suggested?
Yeah, so that one, so kind of back to what I was saying, you know, when I first got started interested buying or investing in businesses, you know, the first place that we were looking was, you know, the easiest place to look, you know, all these brokerages. And, you know, and again, I mean, there's great businesses, and they're generally, you know, pretty fairly priced. And, you know, then one of the things that I realized is that like, if I wanted to get the, you know, the best deals or getting things that like were like, I would have opportunities that weren't not to get in a bidding war with other people. Like I had to find those deals myself. And so that's kind of what started then. You know, I started like, and part of that all leading into like, you know, sharing more and sharing my story and going on podcasts and just like kind of being intentional to try to like, you know, develop and, you know, build like a personal brand so that, so I was, you know, doing some of these things last fall, and that's what kind of got the conversation started with Brent and the Amazon advertising business that eventually led to us investing in it. And so it wasn't, you know, he wasn't looking for partners. It was like, I was kind of starting to share this and we previously had a relationship, and I don't remember exactly how it was brought up. You know, maybe it was just like, hey, like, by the way, you know, I/we might be interested in investing and partnering up. And he was just like, yeah, like, you know, I would be interested in continuing that discussion with you and Travis to, you know, get involved. And so, you know, that's what led to that. It wasn't, you know, they certainly weren't actively seeking investment. It was more like somehow the dots were able to connect with us kind of putting it out there and kind of starting that conversation.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I know there's probably a lot of buyers out there listening and being slightly jealous that you were able to pull a deal like that off. What's the future hold for you? Are you going to continue to buy? Or are you looking for more opportunities to invest?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's come together a little bit in the last, you know, couple months or so. But I will say that as a kind of side tangent, personally got very sidetracked by crypto last winter, as many people did. And
back when it was trading at high levels, right?
Right. When, I mean, it was exciting. And, you know, so when I sold the business last spring, I dumped a pretty good chunk of that into, you know, Bitcoin, Ethereum was starting, and that kind of got me into ICOs over last summer, which was like, you know, early enough before the big run up in November, December, that like, you know, come December, January, I was like, you know, I was way up. Unfortunately, of course, didn't, you know, cash out at the top, but like, you know, from that, then I kind of like, I was kind of going in this direction. I had made this investment in, you know, Brent's business and like was generally enjoying that, you know, trying to put myself out there more and, you know, find more opportunities. And then this crypto stuff spiked and I kind of like put everything on hold and I'm like, all right, I'm diving in here, started going to events and, you know, flying all around, like trying to see what's going on. Then, you know, fast forward a couple of months and the market was not where it was in January. And like some of those same kind of questions came back up of like, is this what I want to be doing? What do I want to be doing? What's important? and was kind of like, you know, again, like revisiting a lot of these things and direction and like, what do I want to do? And then this new site, you know, became available. So we kind of jumped on that. And, you know, then the last couple months has been, you know, kind of like happily busy working on that. And it's like, gives me stuff to do. And some of the stuff that I've learned is that like, you know, I'm certainly happiest when I have a project. And like, it's not, I mean, money's important, obviously, but it's not just about having as much money, and time is important, but like, you don't want to have all the time. Like, it's important, you know, you want to have enough free time. I think balance is really important, but like also having the balance towards, you know, productive work and like having a project that you can work on and make progress and connect with people and, you know, be excited about is a really, like, I've, you know, realized is like maybe the most important factor for just like my personal happiness. Anyway, so that site came around and had the opportunity to, you know, get involved and have been, and, you know, working on that and getting the people and pieces in place to keep that moving forward. And, you know, that's kind of solidified what I see as my, you know, direction of like continuing to, you know, find, you know, putting myself out there, sharing more, hopefully, you know, attracting, you know, new and, you know, better opportunities. And, you know, when the right opportunities come along and when I have the time and, you know, the interest and the right opportunity kind of all lines up, you know, get involved with a new business. And so that's sort of where, I mean, I'm not sure if I'm quite there yet because there's still quite a bit we're working on with the crypto site, but, you know, fast forward a couple of months, the idea is to continue to, you know, share more, put myself out there, connect more, you know, just really finding opportunities to like connect with and help other entrepreneurs, you know, as you know, priority. And then also if down the road, whether that's, you know, in 3 months or 6 months or whatever, when I'm looking to make the next investment to, you know, bring into the portfolio, that also can, you know, put me in a position to be able to, you know, get access to good deal flow. And, you know, then I think the idea is getting involved with more and better businesses and, you know, bigger businesses, you know, going down the line while also kind of, you know, trimming or unloading different ones in the portfolio moving forward to just kind of have a better, and especially now focusing on cash flow generating portfolio moving forward.
Cool. Yeah. That point about connecting with other people, I think people ask me a lot about the team that we built at Quiet Light Brokerage. You know, where did I find some of these people that are working as brokers? Because, you know, as most of the listeners know, everyone that works here, Quiet Light, we're all entrepreneurs. We've all started, we've all bought, we've all sold our own internet-based businesses. And frankly, the resume of my team completely dwarfs anything I've ever done in my life. You know, and I try and explain, I've never actually actively recruited any of our guys, or a man for that matter too. I don't mean to say just guys, but the entire team. I haven't actively recruited anybody. And so the question becomes, well, why? Why do they do it? So much of it is exactly what you're talking about there. You know, being able to connect, finding that business where you're passionate about the business itself, but also having the ability to connect with other intelligent entrepreneurs who share that same drive, that same desire for life and working on a project and working towards an end goal. Really, really cool. I think that's an interesting self-reflection that you've kind of come across over the past few years since you've sold your last business, that's what you want to be doing. Have you thought about with the current businesses what you're going to do if they get to that point where now it's just another job?
I mean, so something that I've, I guess, gotten a lot of experience with and that I enjoy has always kind of been hiring in my businesses. And so I know many people kind of struggle with delegating, and I'd say if anything, I kind of err too much on the other side where I like, if I ever catch myself doing something where I'm just like, you know, like, why am I doing this? It's just like as quickly as possible, like, who can I give this to? You know, how can I find someone else to do this? And so, I mean, because I'm very like mindful and aware of, I mean, and increasingly so of like what I spend my time on. Is this like, is this my unique ability? Is this my superpower? Should I be doing this? You know, again, also mindful of balance. Like I'm not, you know, there's a lot of things that I enjoy in my life, and there's a lot of different pieces that I think contribute to, you know, to having a good life. It's not, you know, just business. And so if things are kind of starting to get too time consuming or, you know, heavily on the business side, or if I find myself kind of doing some things that I don't think I like, I mean, I think that even, you know, maybe a step before that kind of happening would kind of, you know, be aware and look to delegate that to someone else on my team, or, you know, find a way to change that situation. Because I mean, at this point in my life and career, like I want to work and I want to be productive, but I want to do it, you know, I want to do it in ways that like where I can have the biggest impact. And I know that there are certain activities where I can have a really big impact. And it's just not like, you know, and I also know that on the other side, there's, you know, activities that don't have a big impact. And so, you know, just trying to like focus on the, you know, big impact activities and the least amount on the lower ones. And so, yeah, would, I mean, I think, you know, maybe a step before it gets to the point where I'm doing all these things I don't want, you know, because I am quite mindful and intentionally thinking about these things, kind of like made a strategy or a plan to, you know, to offload or, you know, get some of those things off of my responsibility.
Very cool. I love the whole purpose-driven entrepreneurship, that sort of outlook on things. Nate, thanks so much for joining me. I really appreciate it.
Yeah. Thanks for having me. This was a lot of fun. And yeah, if anybody has, you know, questions, comments, ideas, wants to connect, like I said, I mean, I love people, love connecting with people. Anything I can help with, feel free to reach out. My website is nateginsburg.com or nate@nateginsburg.com. If you like inspiration and also yoga balance stuff, feel free to check out my Instagram, Nate Ginsburg. Yeah, happy to connect and chat and wish...
And you also know quite a bit about Amazon marketing, which is actually what we originally were going to talk about, but got sidetracked here. But you know a decent amount about that.
Yeah. If anyone's looking or interested in, you know, the Amazon space, have a lot of experience there, as well as a team with a lot of experience in those things. And yeah, broadly open to, you know, open to opportunities and chat, always looking for, you know, for win-wins. And yeah, would love to connect and help if I can.
All right. Very good. Hey, thanks, Nate.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Quiet Light Podcast. For more resources from this episode, head over to quietlightbrokerage.com. If you're enjoying the show, please leave a rating and review in iTunes. This helps share the messages from the show with more business owners like you.